观众朋友们，大家好，今天是7月28号，星期二，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国国会共和党议员还有白宫计划周一下午推出新一轮的针对新冠疫情的经济援助计划，总额大约10000亿美元。
新的经济援助计划还将包括拨款1050亿美元，用于协助学校重开、用于病毒测试的拨款以及企业救助，其中包括新一轮的贷款、税收减免以及为企业提供疫情相关诉讼的责任暂缓。但共和党人与民主党人正在就更多援助的范围进行艰难的谈判，包括是否一次性支付给1600万失业工人工资的70%，以抵消新冠大流行的严重经济影响。民主党议员要求在2020年底之前发放每周600美元的失业救济金，这一数字在5月中旬由民主党占多数的众议院批准，但将在7月底到期。财政部长姆努钦周六在国会对记者说，特朗普总统的首要关注点是延长即将到期的失业救济金，但要大大减少补助金的金额。姆努钦说，一个星期600美元的失业补助金是荒唐可笑的，不利于鼓励人们返回工作。他还许诺说，美国政府将再向每个成年人发放1200美元的支票，用于消费刺激经济。白宫提出的计划希望把额外的救助金额削减到每个星期100美元，参议院共和党人则倾向于削减到200美元。双方同意逐步取消均等的额外救助金额，而采用救助金额不超过雇员疫情前薪酬70%的办法。美国之音电视报道。
正当美国其他的一些州开始变成像纽约之前那样的疫情中心时，纽约的疫情曲线依然低而稳定。不过这场大流行病已经彻底改变了纽约人的生活环境，促使他们思考如何适应。
周日，纽约市24小时内在5个区里共发生了7起枪击暴力事件。周日傍晚，在布鲁克林，3名青少年遭枪击，其中16岁的少年被击中头部，当场死亡。这是周日7起凶杀案之一。市长白思豪说，他仍相信解决问题的根本是警察局跟社区密切合作，但他指出，检察机构和法院系统必须加快全部重启。
A striking reality that there's a huge backlog when it comes to cases involving violent crime. Only 50%of firearms charges have even gotten to the point of indictment. And obviously, we need to go from indictment through the trial process and determining the fair resolution. And those who need to feel consequences have to experience those consequences in a speedier fashion. That's not happening right now.
纽约的疫情曲线仍低而平稳。周一，州长库莫说，周日检测人数为57270人，608人呈阳性，感染率为1.06%，住院人数642人。一天前，新冠肺炎死亡人数为11人。与此同时，跟新冠病毒搏斗的奇迹继续在出现。上周三，64岁的纽约市民拉里·凯利住院128天，插管51天后康复出院。
I was in the coma. It happened so fast. I was an early case. And they vented me like 2 days after I entered.
凯利是大流行爆发的3月入院的，也是纽约西奈山陈边医院第二个进入加护病房的重症病人。
Wife and his daughter were one of the first families that I stood with.And I've stood with many throughout this, in outside his room to possibly, you know, see him, maybe never see him again. And that was an extremely powerful moment, I think, for both myself and his wife.
出院后的凯莉想做的第一件事是到上西城他喜欢的酒吧去喝一杯啤酒。新冠病毒大流行正改变着人们的生活方式。在纽约市居住了数十年的一对夫妻决定搬离此地。
So I think the pandemic really caused the glue to hold the commitment we had to Manhattan to fall away, because since the banking and the technology companies have said to their people work from home, there's no need for us to be there to service the, you know, the mass population.
Right.
So if everyone's working from home, we will too.
离开房价和租金昂贵的纽约市，前往纽约上州面积更宽敞的地方居住，正是像阿尼尔这样可以在家工作的 IT 工程师考虑的选择。
I think we're done. I think, you know, we've been in New York City our entire lives, you know, 45 plus years, and it's time for a different style of living.
纽约市的餐馆是养育许多未成名艺术家的地方。虽然进入重启经济第四阶段，但餐馆不能恢复全部正常营业，使许多以此为生的艺术家陷于困境。
The flexibility that comes with part-time work for full-time pay has essentially given me the creative freedom to do anything else I want on the side. That security has completely disappeared.
All of those artists who were working within the restaurant industry to maintain living in New York to become artists have now had to make different life choices and have had to leave New York mainly.
疫情前有27万多员工的纽约市餐饮业，五月重启时复工时人数还不到10万。即使到了开放室内堂吃，也会在相当一段时间内仅半容量经营。
I mean, that's the Lady Gaga story. If Lady Gaga didn't play in small clubs in New York, we wouldn't have a Lady Gaga. I worry that we're going to lose something, and who knows if we can get it back. That's pretty real, I think.
美国之音方冰九岛纽约报道。
白宫周一宣布，国家安全顾问罗伯特·奥布莱恩新冠病毒检测呈阳性，这是特朗普总统身边感染此种病毒的最高级别的官员。与此同时，美国的生物科技公司莫多纳的新冠病毒疫苗进入了临床试验的最后阶段。
莫多纳公司说，扩大试验将于27日展开，3万名受试者有半数接受100微克剂量的疫苗，另外半数则接受安慰剂。在小型初步试验阶段，所有的45名受试者体内制造了冠状病毒抗体。美国至今已有超过14万6千人死于新冠肺炎，确诊病例也在不断上升。政府宣布大幅投资以加速疫苗研发，并于明年初让数百万美国人接种。美国政府允诺出资19.5亿美元购买美国辉瑞药厂与德国生技公司合作研发的1亿剂疫苗。
为了应对中国还有俄罗斯的威胁，英国准备推动大力改革，包括加强太空战斗力，并且引进全新的叛国法还有间谍法等。下面我们来看美国之音驻伦敦特约记者江静玲的报道。
面对来自中国和俄罗斯的威胁，英国将全面加强太空作战能力，这将是英国自冷战以来最大规模的一次军事变革。此外，英国的约翰逊政府必将推出间谍法和叛国法，而这将是英国325年以来最全面以及最大的一次有关修改间谍法以及叛国法的行动。俄罗斯上周测试了一项反卫星武器，遭到英美两国的指控。英国国防大臣华莱士周日在英国媒体撰文表示，英国将进行军事改革，提升对抗来自俄罗斯和中国的太空威胁能力。此前，英国媒体曾报道英国国防政策将进行变革，但内阁官员公开表态则属首次。华莱士表示，不仅俄罗斯，中国也在开发具攻击性的太空武器。中俄两国的行为迫使英国必须对当前英国的外交、安全和国防政策进行审查。随着传统冲突的转变，国防不再是人们熟悉的组织和防御结构，战争形态也不再仅止于常规战。网络和数据已经成为新的战场，必须在太空和海底等下一代的防务上为持久的全球参与和战役进行部署与准备。华莱士强调，中俄威胁促使英国对冷战以来英国的防御能力进行最全面的审查和变革。与此同时，英国媒体报道，约翰逊首相并准备向美国和澳大利亚看齐，全面改革英国的叛国法律，出台全新的叛国法、间谍法和官方保密法，对抗中国和俄罗斯的威胁。这将是英国从17世纪以来最大规模的一次修改叛国法行动。英国政府这一连串的举措回应了英国情报安全委员会的最新报告。该报告指称，英国严重低估了俄罗斯和中国的威胁，那么强调呢， 英国必须和国际间的自由力量加强合作，来认真看待中俄的威胁以及网络和技术的攻击。
澳大利亚政府的两位主要部长前来美国参加与美国国务卿还有国防部长的2020年美澳部长级别磋商，也就是外界所谓的二加二会议。
澳大利亚外长佩恩和国防部长雷诺兹周一和周二会晤美国国务卿蓬佩奥和国防部长埃斯珀，讨论两国拓展及加深双方在印太地区及全球牢不可破盟友关系的途径。在澳大利亚与中国上世纪70年代建交以来面临最紧张的关系之际，佩恩形容美澳之间的会谈对于澳大利亚的短、中及长期利益来说都极为重要。据报道，澳大利亚希望讨论扩大五眼联盟的情报互享系统，把经济情报也纳入该系统，并且审视在新冠病毒大流行之际转移供应链的问题。五眼联盟包括美国、加拿大、英国、澳大利亚和新西兰。
已故美国联邦众议员刘易斯的灵柩星期一下午抵达美国国会大厦，众议院议长佩洛西在悼念仪式上缅怀这位民权斗士。
已故国会议员刘易斯的灵柩星期一下午抵达首都华盛顿的国会大厦，运载灵柩的车队在华盛顿纪念碑、金博士纪念堂、林肯纪念堂和黑人的命也生命广场停留后，抵达国会圆顶大厅举行悼念会。参议院多数党领袖麦康奈尔在仪式上缅怀了刘易斯一生为争取非裔平权所做的努力。他说，正义并非从天而降，而是因为有像刘易斯这样的人付出代价，使得人们不再对种族隔离视若无睹。遗体安放在国会圆顶大厅供瞻仰，是美国的一项崇高荣誉。由于新冠疫情，国会大厦向公众关闭。悼念仪式结束后，他的灵柩被移至国会大厦东侧台阶，让民众能在室外瞻仰这位民权斗士的遗容。国会大厦内外皆有标志提醒悼念的民众必须佩戴口罩。美国之音许湘云华盛顿报道。
民权运动领袖约翰·刘易斯7月17日去世。纪录片《约翰·刘易斯：好的麻烦》记录了他奋斗的一生。
My philosophy is very simple. When you see something that is not right, not fair, not just, say something, do something, get in trouble.
唐波特的纪录片《约翰·刘易斯：好的麻烦》记载了这位已故众议员在美国毕生为争取民权而奋斗的故事。
We're marching today to dramatize to the world that hundreds and thousands of Negro citizens denied the right to vote.
这部纪录片运用罕见的档案影片片段，凸显了刘易斯超过60年的社会活动事迹。1963年，他是华盛顿大游行的组织者之一。1965年，他帮助领导一个反对种族隔离并争取投票权的非暴力游行，穿越了阿拉巴马州蒙哥马利的埃德蒙·佩特斯桥。
I was hit in the head My knees went from under me. I thought I was going to down the bridge.
在刘易斯七月十七日去世之前几小时，纪录片执行制片人埃里卡·亚历山大向美国之音谈到刘易斯的政治信念和性格。
He knows that the most powerful nonviolent tool for change in any movement, especially in that, is the right to vote. So he works hard to defend it. He protects that right for everybody. He's a person who doesn't get pessimistic.Because he understands that America as an idea is, a gift.
唐波特的纪录片采用了当前的采访和录像片段来表现这位已故的民权偶像如何为了投票权、医疗保健改革、移民和枪支管制提供透明又公平的立法过程的蓝图而坚持到最后一刻。
You cannot replace a John Lewis.
He's the most courageous person I ever met.
Too many people struggled and died to make it possible for every American to exercise their right to vote.
He challenges the conscience of the Congress.
2014年，在阿瓦杜维尔奈的传记片《塞尔玛》的放映期间，路易斯跟美国之音谈到和平抵抗的力量。
We were willing to be beaten.Willing to be jailed, willing to suffer to gain the right to participate in a democratic process. We literally put our bodies on the line. And Selma have changed America forever. You speak to President Carter, President Clinton, President Obama, hadn't been for Selma and that bridge, these three men probably wouldn't have been elected president.
对演员斯蒂芬·詹姆斯在《塞尔玛》里扮演年轻时候的他有什么想法
？I wanted to say to the actor, I want my backpack back. I really want my trench coat. Young, it took me back to the time when I was only 20, 21, 23, 24, 25. When I walked across that bridge with that backpack, my trench coat.I had all of my hand a few pounds lighter.
There are forces in America today want to take us back, but we're not going back. We're going forward.
美国之音记者普劳华盛顿报道。
共和党参议员泰德·克鲁兹是美国对华强硬派的代表人物之一，也是中国政府近期制裁的美国官员之一。他在参院的八年期间对香港、新疆还有台湾问题上对于中国政府的批判不遗余力。下面我们来看美国之音。
I rise today to discuss the single most dangerous geopolitical threat that America faces now and through the next century. China.I traveled to Hong Kong. I met with many brave men and women who are standing up. I met with the dissidents, the pro-democracy protesters who are speaking out for Hong Kong's autonomy and free speech and basic human rights. Along with them, I dressed in all black to express my solidarity with the peaceful protesters who have taken to the streets.These brave men and women are just the latest targets of Chinese Communist government's relentless attacks on truth tellers, on freedom fighters, and on religious and ethnic minorities. The Chinese government is a 1984-style dystopian state, and it's tracked and imprisoned millions of Uyghurs and other religious minorities. Chinese communist government is terrified that the Chinese people will see how come the people of Taiwan enjoy freedom, enjoy democracy, and we don't. Why can't we have that same freedom? That's why the Chinese government acts with such fear, and that's why it's so important for America and the rest of the world to stand alongside Taiwan. The coronavirus pandemic has thrown into high relief the fact that China is our most dangerous threat. For 8 years in the U.S. Senate, I have worked hard to lead the fight to address the threat of Chinese communist power and aggression and hostility head on.
有许多的成年人有着不同程度的残疾，多亏了30年前签署的美国残疾人法，这些人的生活才得以保障。
多年前，对残疾人的歧视往往始于出生时。
When I was born, a doctor came in to my mom and explained to her my diagnosis in this way: Your son is a midget like you see in the circus. So in that one sentence that he said to my mother.He's basically laid out my entire future.
Okay, just in one second, Lydia.
Boss is busy firing me because I make him uncomfortable.
但幸运的是，时代已经改变。尽管伍德·伯恩被诊断出患有侏儒症，但后来他的演艺事业成功，出演了30多部电影，并出演了150多次电视节目，其中包括受欢迎的电视连续剧《塞恩菲尔德》。
It's little people. You got that?
他的成功反映了美国残疾人法的影响。
The ADA stands for the Americans with Disabilities Act. And the important thing that we would really want everyone to know is that it's a civil rights law. Individuals with disabilities were not part of that protection. And it became evident that they were not being included in ways that other previously marginalized groups were.
乔治 W. 布什总统1990年签署了美国残疾人法，使之成为法律，为数百万在校在职以及所有公共场所和私人场所的美国人提供了免受歧视的保护。通过这样做，他改善了成百上千万人的交通和生活质量。
I think one of the most important things that we look at with the Americans with Disabilities Act is its opportunity to level the playing field.
但格斯承认在残疾人就业方面，这一数字仍然很低。根据美国劳工统计局的数据，在2019年，不到20%的残疾成年人有工作。伍德伯恩说，这是需要更多倡导的原因之一。
And part of my advocacy with my own industry has been to change the landscape of employment of actors with disability, for example, because the belief system is that for kids, if you can't see it, you can't be it.
但是该项法律的许多规定改善了人们的生活，甚至使那些没有残疾的人受益。例如，为了轮椅通行的坡道和缓坡路沿也帮助了其他人。
After those were put in place, people started to see more and more mothers walking their babies in the strollers and delivery persons using those.
短信是应听障人士的需求而产生的。
We owe that to the deaf community and their need to have that access.
在庆祝美国残疾人法30年来改善数百万人的生活过程中，伍德伯恩说，仍有很大的改进空间。
We have to be included every step of the way, and we're just not right now. So my hope is that anyone that has a diversity or inclusion discussion, either as an advocate or as a corporate leader, that they always include disability, despite how uncomfortable it might make them feel.
美国之音塔博，华盛顿报道。
美国的宇航员再次进行了太空行走，而三个国家也正式展开了夏季的火星探索。下面我们来看新一期的太空漫谈。
美国宇航员鲍勃·本肯和克里斯·卡西迪上个星期进行了一次太空行走，在国际空间站外更换电池。这是他们两人一个月来的第四次太空行走，每个人都完成了10次太空行走，平了美国的记录。还有不到两周时间，本肯和卡西迪将乘坐五月份在他们前来的同一艘太空龙飞船告别国际空间站。这将是45年以来在佛罗里达海岸外的首次降落。SpaceX 以创纪录的周转速度加入了这创造历史的时段，重新发射那部将宇航员本肯和卡西迪送到了国际空间站的猎鹰9号火箭助推器。助推器载有韩国通信卫星，并成功降落在名为请看说明的无人驾驶飞船上。同时，欧洲航天局和美国宇航局发布了他们称之为篝火的第一批太阳图像。这些图像是双方联合项目太阳轨道器拍摄的。
We're going to be able to, for the first time, image the polar regions of the sun. So it's going to go close to the sun, but it's also going to go above the poles. And so we're going to be able to see the magnetic fields and the flows on the polar regions, which we've never done before.
项目科学家霍利·吉尔伯特说，太阳轨道飞行器更接近太阳，因此比地球上的相机更准确地测量了太阳的气候。
It's going to be really exciting when we first observe the poles because we don't know what we'll see, and we really don't have a real great handle on that. And also as we get closer and the imaging getting closer, I think that's going to be really exciting.
吉尔伯特补充说，更近距离的图像可能有助于研究人员更好地了解太阳外的大气层比其表面更热，同时还可以更清楚地了解太阳上或附近的天气状况，这可以帮助维护航空旅行和地球上的无线网络安全。在其他方面，阿拉伯联合酋长国最近从日本发射了一颗火箭前往火星，这标志着阿拉伯世界的第一颗行星际飞行任务。预计该飞船将于2021年2月到达火星，恰逢阿联酋成立50周年。中国也启动了无人探测器的夏季火星之旅，这是中国首次独立展开探测另一个星球的任务。该探测器应该在明年2月开始寻找穿过火星大气层的软进入点，其任务是寻找火星上的水或冰的迹象。最后要说的是，几天前新智彗星在瑞士的天空上划过。美国宇航局表示，这颗美丽的彗星7月23日从视野中消失之后，6800年后才会再现。美国之音阿拉巴萨迪，华盛顿报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。